A huge part of embracing the new life you're creating is being engaged.
It's the energy you bring into the room. If you're bringing an energy of the world is crap and I'm going to put it on everybody around me, then that's what everybody's going to feel about you. They're
right.
Like, well, what do I want to be around this guy?
This is Rhea, and this is Just the Who of Us, where we talk about a range of topics, including life events, current events, spirituality, entertainment, family relationships, as well as answering listener questions and more.
Today we have Martin back to discuss cards 14 through 22. If you haven't been following along, or if you've gotten a little bit behind,
shame on you.
Right, exactly. And if you haven't ordered the cards yet, too, because what else is going on in life that this has not become, you know, like, so, Martin, I'm going to let you take a second just to kind of catch them up on what this is and why we're even talking about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Rhea and I, we've known each other about a year now. Mm-hmm. And over that time, we've gone through, I published a book, which she was one of the first people, while it was being published, the day it was published, she was so gracious to have me on your show while I was standing in Times Square with my book up on the Times Square.
Wait, that was a year ago already?
No, that was 6 months ago, but
I
you and
was
I
like...
know each other about a year. I said, during that year, these things happened. But also what I had done before that was I came out with a card deck. So just everybody know who I am. My name is Martin Salama. And I'm known as the architect of the Warrior's Life Code. And for me, life stands for live incredibly full every day. And my book and my cards are called the same thing, which is Warrior to Warrior. How to go from being somebody who worries and is a warrior to somebody who's a warrior and can, you know, basically attack everything. That, to me, a warrior is someone who's gone through adversity and come to the other side stronger as a result. And for me personally, I look at it as I went through a 5 year, 6 year process between my divorce, losing all my money in 2008, going up and down on a roller coaster of weight, to finally understand that that's who I was. I was a warrior. I was a people pleaser. And those were things that were holding me back. And once I'd gone through life coach training at the same time as going through a divorce, I realized that that's what was holding me back. So Ray and I, like I said, we've known each other for a while, and she, thankfully, you love my cards. And because you love my cards so much, you felt like, let's go through them. So we are up to card number 14. So just to catch you up, before that, we did admission, cleansing, and celebration, which is admit what's going wrong, what's not working in your life, work on changing it. That's the cleansing part. And while you're changing it and you're making small changes, celebrate along the way. Then the next thing we talked about is something called the cycle of A's, which is three words, all starting with the letter A: act, ask, act, and attitude. Ask the world for what you want. Ask God, ask the universe, whatever it is. That's kind of like the foundation for the law of attraction. So many people say, well, the law of attraction doesn't work. I asked for $1 million and I didn't get it. Well, number one, if you don't really believe you're going to get it, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
But number two, if you don't do the second A, which is act, do the work to getting it, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is attitude. You've got to have an attitude that whatever happens, I'm not going to get emotionally attached to the outcome. So that's the next bunch of cards. And after that, we went to something called stop, think, and respond, which came out of the fact that I learned that I was a people pleaser and that I had a lot of negative things in my life. And what I would do is I would react to everything. And I had to learn how to change that. So I came up with stop, think, and respond is stop reacting when someone is attacking you or you think you're being attacked, as it were.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And think about it. Wait a minute. Are they really attacking me? Am I taking it personally? And all those other things. And then learn how to respond. And one of the things I've kind of over the last year incorporated in this after I made the cards is I tell people who like, I can't do it. You know, I get it. I get. So then just say, you know, that's interesting. Let me think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're not ready to respond and you're so quick to react, just go with, that's interesting. Let me think about it and get back to you.
Yeah.
You know, just that little statement could change things. And eventually you want to get to the point where you go, let me think about how I want to react to this, how I want to act to this, and so on and so forth. So then we're up to the next bunch of cards. How'd I do so far?
Fabulous.
Thank you so much.
It's like you know what you're talking about.
Right. So the next bunch of cards is actually a big bunch of cards. It's 14 through 22. Why so many? Because the first card is called Uncover, right? And the word uncover is my acronym for 7 steps to uncover your greatness so you can enjoy life, L-I-F-E, and live incredibly full every day. So this is really where the rubber hits the road. The first parts of it were, I'd like to call, were the setup. You know, the introduction, getting you ready, getting your mindset ready to move forward. And now you could take those things that you learned, the admission cleansing celebration, the cycle of A's, and the stop, think, and respond, and say, okay, I'm in the process. I get it. I'm not expecting anybody to get this right away.
Yeah.
And it's going to take some time. So I took the word uncover and broke it down into an acronym. And the first one is U, which is actually 2 cards. And the first one is unlock what's keeping you stuck, right? So what am I talking about here? So look closely at what secrets are keeping you stuck. Stuck means you can't move forward because you have emotions that are holding you back from the happiness you deserve. Think about where you are now in your life. Are you happy in the current place in life? What does happiness look like to you? Does it come with a price? Maybe that price is feelings of discontent, uncertainty, disillusionment. The journey begins by understanding what's keeping you stuck where you are. You don't know what you don't know, right? Yeah. You don't know what you don't know. Sometimes you're emotionally tied to certain feelings that you don't understand, and it's those very feelings that are keeping you stuck.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this card?
I think, for one, the you don't know what you don't know is a really good point to make, right? Because sometimes we get to this point, most of the time we get to this point when we realize we don't like things the way they are, but we're like, I don't know how to change it.
Right. That's a big part of it. But also, very often, we are so within our own default tendencies.
Yeah.
That when someone tells you something, you're looking at them and you're saying, they're judging me. Especially if it's someone close to you. It could be your spouse. It could be your parents. It could be siblings. It could be close friends. And it's because you're looking at them and you're saying, oh, I'm taking it personally. So you don't even realize it. You think, you know, like when I was going through my divorce, I was like, what do they know? They're not going through it. They're judging me because I'm getting divorced. Mm-hmm. Whether it was true or not didn't matter. That's what I had as my perception. So it was my truth. Was it the truth? Was it true? Not necessarily, but it was my truth. So that's why you start with that, with uncovering, by unlocking what's keeping you stuck. And that goes back to the first thing we talked about, admission.
Yeah.
Everything plays into everything in the cards.
Right. Yeah.
It's all in the cards.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I'm reading through this, you know, looking through this portion of the deck, my initial thought, I was like, what I liked about this portion was this kind of allows me to feel and process all the things that in the beginning of the deck that we were discovering, and now we're uncovering, the process of getting to this point where we want to be. And not to say that the rest of the cards didn't, you know, have you put things into place, because they did. But like you said, they were all kind of this prep work for now it's time to physically and emotionally do these things and put them into action to get to this goal we're trying to achieve.
Right. Exactly. And as you said, it's about understanding how much you allow your feelings to take over. That goes back to stop, think, and respond. And something we'll get to even later is, and the reason it's later is because it takes some real work within yourself to then understand another concept that I come up with later in the cards. Yeah. But so here we're just touching the base. And what I feel very strongly about as a life coach. Okay. Number one, so go back to what we were talking about people telling you, what you don't know what you don't know, right? They know when you don't.
Right.
And you're upset about it. So that's where somebody like a life coach comes into play, because if you really think that there are things that are holding you back, right, from whatever it is, whatever life happiness looks like to you, whatever success, and everybody has a different meaning of what success means for them, right? Then someone like a life coach, what's great about a life coach, about someone like that, is number one, they're objective. Mm-hmm. Number two, they're non-judgmental, which is huge.
Yeah.
And then number three, they're supportive. That's what so when I was putting these cards together, I'm putting this into it. And I'm also saying I have to make sure that my course, my books, my cards all have practicality built into it. You know, the big word of the 2020s is woo-woo, right? What's the woo-woo? We were in a hotel this past weekend, and they had a place called the Woo-Woo Lounge. I was like, well, I was in Sedona, Arizona, which is capital for the aura pictures and the people like that, which is great.
Yeah.
And I believe in the woo-woo in a different way. I believe that's touching, that's, you know, going deep into your feelings.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of people get lost when they hear woo-woo, they turn off. So I believe it's good to put it in its place, understand that your feelings are playing a point.
Yeah.
And then to move forward, you need to have practical things to make it happen. Just to say, oh, you're feeling this way, get yourself out of it, isn't good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that's where this comes in. So unlocking is giving yourself permission to say, I need to change.
Yeah.
I should change. I want to change. Whatever those words are that you need to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of it, is give yourself permission to change. Nobody says you have to stay who you are. And that was the biggest thing I got out of the first weekend of coaching training for me, was when they said to me, and don't forget, I'm in the middle of a divorce. I'm very unhappy in my life. I'm going through this coaching thing saying, okay, let me see where it takes me. And they said, you don't have to be who you think you have to be. You can be whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
And that can apply to a lot of situations, because a lot of times, right, we get to these certain places mentally and how we feel about ourselves, what we think about ourselves. Sometimes that can be because of things that we've been told.
Right.
You know, not everybody has great parents. Not everybody has a support system there, you know, through their upbringing. And sometimes people can be beaten down. And so we have this perception of ourselves
that is
negative. And we just think that that's what we have to be. And I can't personally relate to that, because I had a good childhood. But I know, you know, just knowing people, that some people experience a life to where they don't have confidence, self-esteem. They've been kind of beaten down. And so at some point you kind of think that that's just who you are and where you have to be. So that, you know, that can be a factor too. And these goals, they can pertain to your career, to your relationships. You know, it doesn't have to just be kind of narrow.
Yeah. It can apply to a wide variety of your life. No question about it. I grew up, I had a good childhood, but there's a little bit of a but there. Mm-hmm. I was always told I was lazy and immature by the adults around me, my parents, the school, the teachers, my older sisters and everything like that. And looking back now, don't forget, this was 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Right? So using words like ADHD and ADD were very, very early on stages.
Yeah.
So I actually found out in my 50s that I'm ADHD.
Yeah.
I suspected it for a while, but I finally went and got tested.
Yeah.
And so as a result, these were the truths that were being told to me. So mm-hmm. I lived up or lived down to their expectations.
Yeah.
Right. At the end of the day, I'm taking responsibility for it.
Yeah.
It didn't help that it was my parents and people like that telling
me. Right. Right.
Yeah. But I can't sit and blame them for everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. My husband makes a point from time to time. When, you know, we're having personal discussions about certain things. And one of his biggest things is at some point as an adult, you have to take responsibility for your life and for your actions. While this doesn't invalidate your experiences as a kid, as a teenager, at some point, and sometimes it's tough because people aren't taught certain things.
Right.
Some people aren't given certain tools in life, and it is kind of sucky that you have to go out and find these things for yourself. But at some point, you do have to start doing these things for yourself, even if you weren't kind of taught how. At some point, you have to take charge of your life.
Right, absolutely. Well put. And he's a very, very intelligent gentleman you have as a husband. So good for you and good for him. He doesn't need my coaching. For this, at least. But yeah, so that's the beginning of it. It's unlocking. Yeah. It's unlocking what's keeping you stuck. But then what? Okay, so now you've unlocked it.
Right.
Again, there's got to be practical steps. And the next one is unleash the frustration you're holding on to so you can start your journey, which means now that you've given yourself permission to change, give yourself permission to feel what it was feeling and say, do I need to continue to feel this? What should I do about it? And, you know, for example, I have in my coaching something I got from my coaching school that I use with many of my clients. It's called an energy leadership index assessment. And the school I went to, which is called IPEC, talks about energy being what moves you in your life. And there's 7 levels of energy. The lowest level, level 1, is victim mode, guilt, and things like that.
Yeah.
The next level is conflict. Right? Within yourself, within others, right? So if you're living in those 2 specifically, and then it starts to move up, which is in their school, it's called catabolic energy. Catabolic energy is destructive energy. And as you move up, you go from destructive energy to constructive energy. Instead of negative, positive, is it destroying the people around me? Is it destroying me? Is it a destructive force on me and others? Victim mode, conflict within yourself with others. Those are definitely destructive. And you mm-hmm. got to move yourself up. So yeah. That's where it is. So you're saying, do I want to stay in these feelings of being a victim or do I want to move forward? And I'll give you a perfect example. So when I went to this coach training, it was in almost a year's worth of training. You'd go for a weekend and then you'd have a few months in between where you do weekly coaching with at the time, conference calls. We didn't have Zoom back in the Zoom was around, but we weren't using it back in 2010, 2011 when I took it. And then you'd come back. So at the last, before the last module, we all took this assessment. And when I got the score, my level 2 score was 29% of the score.
Oh,
right. And I was like, oh my God, I've been doing this for a year and this is where I'm at. You know, that was my default. I'm like, okay, I get it. And they said, you're going to react to it. They told us. About a year and a half later, they changed it up a little bit. It was the same test. They added a chart in this thing. And they said, everybody who was a student will offer it to you to take it for free to see how it goes. And of course, by now we understood it. And I was doing work, a lot of work on myself. And I took it again. And this time, my score went from 29% to 9%.
Oh, wow.
My overall score. And the rest of it was distributed in the higher levels.
Yeah.
So I was on a conference call with the founder of the school. And I said, Bruce, I went from 29 to 9. Does this make sense? And he said, Martin, if you had gone from 29 to 25, I would say you're doing great work. Keep going.
Right.
29 to 9, it means you made a transformational shift in your life and you will never be the same person again.
Yeah.
Another, never a truer word has been said to me in my life.
Yeah.
Because 10 years later, more than 12 years later, I can say I am no longer the person I was before I started coaching, before I went there, through my divorce, through the losing all the money and everything like that. So why am I telling you this, guys? I'm telling you this because
it's important.
If you want to, you can change.
Yeah. 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 I've met a lot of people in different scenarios who my mom and probably my father, you know, people in my life older than me basically have, I've heard this phrase, well, I am who I am. That's not going to change, or, you know, stuck in our ways and things like that. And I notice, and it has to be an age thing, right? Because as generations pass on, there's things that were taught that are being unlearned, but other things that are also being passed down. And we have become a society who, for the most part, I feel like, is trying to kind of learn from our mistakes, for the most part. But, you know, it's more of a commonality than it used to be. Learn from our mistakes and actually realize that, oh, like, I don't have to just be who I am. I don't have to be stuck in my ways. I actually can be the person I want to be, the person that I can work to be, and not just this is who I am.
Right. Right, right, right. Can we pause for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, if you can pause your recording. Yeah, they changed it.
Yeah. But anywho.
Yeah. So unleash. You've got to. So understanding. So first you unlock the frustration and then you unleash it. You unlock what's keeping you stuck and unleash the frustration. So it's by you being in tune with your emotions and saying, okay, what do I do now? And what you were saying is exactly right. If you say I am what I am, then you're right. It's like Henry Ford say, if you say you can't and you say you can't, you're right.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, it's true for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a huge thing for me, just to stop saying I can't. And those are all cop-outs. Those are all me rationalizing or rationalize.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, which are, at the time, they're good reasons. But really what they are is they're excuses that are disguised as good reasons at the time.
Yeah.
Until you admit to yourself, I'm making excuses.
Right. And it's typically the things that you've seen a pattern in your life that don't really change. But it's typically because you either don't know how or aren't putting the effort forth to change them. So these are the consistent factors that kind of hold you back from that change.
Exactly. Which leads us to the next part, which is navigate how your emotional roller coaster is holding you back, right? So a huge part of moving forward is learning how to control your emotions. We talked about that in Stop, Think, and Respond. So here it is, we're reinforcing it.
Yeah.
Moving forward starts by understanding and accepting you can't change things or people. You can only change yourself.
And oh,
understanding,
man.
Understanding that is very important.
Does this have to be like a true statement? No, I'm just kidding. This is something that I struggle with. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. No question. We all do.
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah.
Listen, I can look back to my first marriage and I can hear myself. I'm in my 20s saying to myself, I love her, but there are some things I don't love about her.
Yeah.
I'll get her to change.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she said the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's been more, okay, let me figure out how I can respond. Because initially I want to say react. How can I react instead of how can I respond to these situations or these people that I can't control? In a way that I can support them and help them navigate rather than change them.
Right, exactly. So there is a little trick you can do.
Yeah.
Okay. Where you sort of are subconsciously controlling them and having them controlled. And it takes a lot of discipline. And the reason why people don't talk about it so much is because it's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, if someone comes to you hot and ready to freak out, if you can stay calm the entire mm-hmm. time, you are, in a sense, controlling the situation. You may not be controlling them, right. but you're controlling the situation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a little bit of controlling them, but it's really controlling the situation. That's why I said it's a secret, because it's about staying even throughout the whole time. Because yeah. as soon as you raise it,
then there's
it's not that you lost to them, you lost to yourself.
Right, right, yeah.
And I learned that when I was going through some difficult, difficult times with my daughter. When after the divorce, there was a lot of going on, and she would test me, and I didn't understand that we finally found out that she was autistic, high on the spectrum, 14, 15 years old, we find this out,
mm-hmm.
that she's on the autistic spectrum. And there are things that she can't control.
Yeah.
Because it's just, so I had to learn to stop freaking out on her. This was all going on while I'm figuring all this out in my life. So I'm like, okay. And I would tell it to my ex as well, because we would hear it through the therapists and the things. As soon as we react to her, as soon as we raise our voices, we're back to square one.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was funny because a few years ago, we went through some ups and downs with my daughter. We had to send her away to a therapeutic residential school in Utah. We lived in New York, Utah. And we cried to send her, and it was the best thing we could have done. And she ended up going to another school after that. But we all learned through there. And it was a long thing. And a couple of years ago, after my daughter came back, at one point, my ex called me up during COVID and said, if you don't take her from me, I'm going to kill her. Yeah. Or she's going to kill me. Yeah. One of us will be dead. And she said to me one day, Dad, I got to tell you something. You say things loud, but they're soft.
Hmm.
Mommy says things quietly, but they're loud.
Mm.
And that's when I understood that my kids were seeing the difference in me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I said things loud and everybody knew it back then. And if you didn't know it, I made sure you knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am just a very passionate person when I speak.
Yeah.
So I learned through this thing, through coaching and through going through this with her, that if I kept my cool through the conversation, she wasn't going to react. She started, and I was like, I can't. I'm like, okay, well, let me know when you can.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of discipline and a lot of time. So that's the start of it. That's how you could control the situation. Can't control the person, but you control the situation. Yeah. And if that person doesn't want to give in and wants to keep screaming, say, you know, I'll keep having this conversation with you, but I'm not going to change how I'm speaking with you.
Yeah.
So if you want, come back later, or we can just keep going now. And it takes a ton of work on yourself.
Yeah. I've definitely learned over time to just, sometimes you don't need to have the conversation in the moment.
Right.
Sometimes neither one of us are going to be productive if we do this right now. So yeah. Let's take some time and think about what we really want to say and not what our emotions want to say, and have a much more productive conversation.
Right. And you also have to be careful to attack the issue, not the person.
Yeah, not the person. Yeah. Yeah.
That's hard.
That's yeah. Especially when you're driving. People
are speaking to you're preaching to the choir on that one.
I knew you would understand me on that one.
Oh, yeah. All right, so that takes us to the next one. C, choose. So why don't you read a little bit of this one?
Yeah. Choose the values that are most important in your life. Values are principles people live by. They are also a product of the experiences you've had. Values are the things that make you tick and that drive you. Your family, your religion, and your community all influence your values. You are driven by your values, yet those values may not reflect what you really want out of life. They may be the things that you were taught, like we kind of talked about earlier. There are often times when your heart and your head are not in alignment, meaning that what you want to do in your heart is not the same thing your head thinks is right, or vice versa. This can create a disconnect in your life and in your relationships.
Right. So I didn't really understand values until I went through coach training. And they hand me this list of words. There were maybe 50, 60, 70 words in them. And they said, pick out 10. Take your time, pick out 10. Then we got to the top 10. They go, okay, now pick out 5.
Yeah.
And as I went through this, they're going, talking about the importance of values and all that. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This, and here's where I started to analyze the previous 45, 50 years of my life and realize that because I didn't understand my values, and because I now was starting to understand that I was a people pleaser, I was compromising my values that I didn't even know I was doing. And it also gave me to the point of realizing that my values and my ex-wife's were never in alignment. And because of that, in my case, we were in a codependent relationship. Okay? It was not the main reason, but it's a part of it. It's not the only reason, I should say, but it's definitely a big part of it, because I was allowing myself to compromise my values to give her what she needed or what she wanted at my expense.
Yeah.
And a lot of it had to do with my own lack of self-worth, lack of self-confidence, fear of not being loved. So I would give in, and she knew eventually I would give in. Now, again, I'm taking responsibility here. I could have said no and stuck by my bill, by my thing, but deep down inside, I was afraid I was going to lose her love, which I ended up losing anyway. And looking back now, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
But so now when I started dating again and I understood what my values were, which for me is communication, family, and humor. Okay. Those are the top three.
Yeah.
Right. And there are more, but those are the main ones. I understood that when I was going out on dates, I wanted to understand what their values were. So I would interview them without them being, it was part of the conversation. They didn't know they were being interviewed. It was just, you know, a second.
Yeah.
And when I started dating Sarita, our values were clicking all over the place, and they still are. They're still very much in alignment. Are we 100%? No, it's very seldom you get 100%.
Right.
But if you understand this going in, you're one step ahead in your own life, because now you're not going to compromise your values. And, you know, I remember a friend of mine, I was coaching her after her divorce, she was dating, and she said, I'm done. I don't want to have any more kids. And she was dating a guy who said that, but really wanted more kids. And actually, he had his rabbi tell her, just tell her that for now. I said, okay, I'm glad you found that out in time. I said, but you've decided that this is a non-negotiable for you.
Yeah.
That you're 40 years old, you have 3 children, and one of them is high on, you know, very, very autistic, non-communicative, whole thing, but no, non-verbal, I should say.
Right.
Non-verbal.
Yeah.
And she didn't want any more kids. She was done with it. She wanted to move on in her life. And he wanted more. He wanted to have kids with her because he would never had kids. So I said, if this is a non-negotiable, then you need to break up with him.
Yeah.
Because if you are going to give on that, and you're saying, I don't want to be 50-year-old with 8 and 10-year-old going through all the crap that I have to go through in school with the kids and the learning, how, you know, all the stuff I'm doing now with my 8 and 10-year-old. I'm like, no way. I'm like, I get it. That was mine. That was mine. When I met Serena, she's like, yeah, I'm done with kids. I'm like, great.
Beautiful. Great.
Her youngest at the time, when I first started dating her, was 9.
Mm-hmm.
He's 16. He'll be 17 in May. And he's turned into this fantastic young man. Really fantastic young man. He had a lot of angst in the beginning, and he's really grown into be a fantastic young man. I'm very proud. to be around him.
Yeah. Well, you know, he has a really good influence around him.
Oh,
So,
thank you. Oh,
you
thank you.
know.
Yeah, thank you. But he's done some of the work too. He's done a lot of the work on himself too.
Yeah. But that's important. It, you know, sometimes it can't be that way for whatever reason. You know, the other person doesn't realize they need to change, they don't know how to change, or whatever the case may be.
Well,
And
they don't want to
sometimes,
change.
or they don't want to.
And the change has to be for them, not for someone else. If I was going to change for my wife and my children to keep the marriage going, it was not sustainable. And
Well, it's not going to work because you're not going to be committed to it.
and it would eventually, I would revert back and we would just be the same people we were originally. And that was one of the things I needed to know, that the next person I marry has values that are aligned with mine, and it happens to be nothing like my first wife. Happened to end up being that way. Okay. But, and look, I have a fantastic relationship with my ex-wife now. Really good. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, my same daughter we were talking about, last year she started college, which was a big thing for her. 24, she started college at 24. And this semester, she started dorming, which was a big thing because we need her to learn independent living. Can't be waking up by us every day. And that's one of the things. And I told my ex, I said, look, she can't go full time because she can't handle it. So I lost the scholarship for her to go full time. She doesn't get part scholarship. And now here she is, and she wants to dorm. That's another huge expense. I can't carry it all. I just can't. It's not in my numbers. So her and her husband, we got on a call, the three of us, and we came up with a number that worked, that they were able to do. Was it everything I wanted? No. But it was more than half of what I had to put. So I felt
And
good
it was a
about that.
compromise, which,
Right, a compromise, exactly. But the ability for me and her to get on the phone and have this conversation in the past never would have happened.
I had a point like that with my ex-husband and the kids. We have a group text with my 3 daughters and my ex-husband and myself. They were texting, talking about planning a beach trip because we've gone before. This is before my husband and I actually got married. We were living together and everything, so you know he was aware. But me, the 3 girls, and him took a beach trip for the weekend, and so that's something that like never at one point in our separating and divorcing definitely wouldn't have been a thing, or even having a conversation about taxes or whatever, like just conversations, let alone getting through a whole weekend being around each other.
Right, exactly. So I'm very proud of all of us in this situation. And growth, her husband was very instrumental in that happening and being part of the conversation. My daughter had to take certain responsibilities as well. Look, she's in her second week now of starting the semester, and so far so good. And I'm hoping that now that she's on campus, she might go back to being full time.
Yeah,
When that happens,
great.
number one, she'll get through the whole college thing faster. But number two, more importantly for me personally, her scholarship comes back. And I remember I called up the school. I said, look, she can't handle it. And the woman said, I called the president's office. And within a half an hour, 45 minutes, somebody called me in response. And she, which was very, very impressed. I said, look, she can't we get half scholarship? She goes, it's not in the policy. So I said, so let's change the policy. She goes, but that's not going to affect your daughter this semester. I said, okay, but let's change the policy because there are other children like my daughter. And she goes, you know, my son is like that too. I'm like, hello. She goes, it was low on my list. Thanks to you, it's high on my list now.
Because now you know there's more of a need
Bringing
in.
awareness to it. That's it. And we'll see where it takes us. Communication, number one. Communication, honesty, those are the things that are important to me. Family, communication, honesty, humor.
Yeah.
I need humor because I don't like confrontation. I just
Yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
Even when I was angry, when I was the old me, I didn't like confrontation, but I forced myself into it. And as a result, I had to win. So
it
for me,
became a
humor,
competition. Yeah.
Right, humor is a way of, you know, breaking that down. All right.
Yeah.
Are we good with that, or do we need to go over anything else on that one?
No, I think communication is a really good value, though,
Right,
because,
absolutely.
you know, even though it's not necessarily listed,
Right. And for
I
those out
value.
there, get with a coach. Figure
Yeah.
out what your values are.
Yeah.
Figure out what your non-negotiables are. Whatever they are for you.
Yeah.
And then say, this is a part of the thing. It's not that I can't. It's not I can't.
Yeah.
Okay. It's I choose not to.
Right, right, right. Because at some point, it becomes a choice. Yeah.
Right, right. You have to make it a choice. If you say I can't, that's a cop out. Again,
yeah.
Going back to the rationalize and all that. But by saying I choose not to, I choose not to have any more children. In my friend's case,
yeah,
that was her choice.
Yeah,
that was her non-negotiable. Not I can't have any more children.
Right.
She could easily say that.
Yeah,
I've gone through this. I have a daughter who goes through it. I'm living with it. Ugh. But I had her understand not to be in the victim mode and say, I choose not to bring this on me anymore,
yeah,
or anything else. I'm 40, but I don't want any more kids.
Right.
Okay, you're allowed.
Yeah.
It may keep her single longer, but she understands it.
Right. Well, then that's just not the person that she was meant to be with.
Right.
And that's okay.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. All right. Next.
So next card is obtain. Obtain the tools you need to correctly respond to all situations. All situations. Think before you act. Respond. Don't react. Every
So this
kind of
is taking it to a deeper level. Stop, think, and respond.
Yeah. Every kind of relationship you have, how you choose to show up is completely in your control. No matter what anyone tries to do to you, how you react to it will decide what happens. So respond instead of react. This is a difficult thing for a lot of people, but it's part of this process. And once we understand our capabilities, our values, and even as simple as what we value in conversation, in communication, it makes it, starts making it easier to
right.
put these things into practice. Don't take anything personally. That is a difficult thing as well.
Right. So, yeah. So I'll tell you a funny story. So I got this quote, don't take anything personally, from Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote the book, The Four Agreements.
Mm-hmm.
And it's agreement number two, don't take anything personally. And it really was an eye opener for me, because that's what I was the whole first part of my life. The first 45, yeah. 50 years of my life, I took everything personally. Everything was on my shoulders and all that. And I started to understand how it was holding me back.
Yeah.
Right. And then a few years ago, as I was dating Sarita, I was also doing a mastermind with other coaches. And in the mastermind, I said, okay, everybody, let's use this as part of our mastermind, reading the four agreements and going over every one of them. So when I bought the book again for myself. I also bought one for Sarita. And one day she texts me, we're dating at this time. She mm-hmm. goes, agreement number two is impossible. So I said, if you say so. She's like, what? I'm like, see, as long as you say it is impossible, it's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And is she better at it? She's better than she used to be. Is she perfect? Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
Am I perfect? No. But anyway, that's why I just put it up. So
yeah.
It's important not to take things, anything personally. Yeah.
Well, and I want to add too that most of the time when we're in arguments or confrontations, the things that are being said at us probably aren't personal, right? Because when you're emotional, most of the time you just say things in the moment.
Yep.
And the way that the person is feeling a lot of times doesn't have anything to do with the current situation.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And that's what the last line on the card says in a different way.
Yeah. I've had this situation with my husband, trying to be intentional with certain things, and I'll stop and I'll say, you know, Okay. Specifically, like if it's text or something like that, but I'm trying to be intentional about it in person too, because that's a little harder, right? What am I really upset about here? Am I upset about the thing that I'm actually talking to him about, the thing that he's saying at me or to me? Probably not. So then I don't need to respond about that thing, right? It's important not to take anything personally in your life. It's not an easy thing to do. If you're able, it can be a life changer for you. Don't let what
I
others
was miss
say to
it's missing a
affect
letter.
you.
What
Don't let what
others
others say to affect you.
you found the typo.
By not taking things personally, you are in control of your emotions instead of your emotions and co controlling you. What you say is about you. What I hear is about me.
Right. So what you say to me
Yeah.
is about what's going on in your life.
Right.
What I'm
Yeah.
hearing you say is about what's going on in my life.
100%. Yeah.
So yeah, so that's the point that I was getting to just a minute ago. It's really what is that person bringing to this conversation? What baggage are they carrying on them that they need to unload?
Yeah.
Right? You know, when you come home from work, if you have a dog, how happy is that dog to see you no matter what is going on in your life? He's jumping up and down, excited to see you, blah, blah, blah. He has unconditional love for you.
Yeah.
Right. And if you say, oh, I can't take this dog anymore, he doesn't care. He's still going to jump all over you.
Right.
So
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
he doesn't take too much personally. Once in a while, the dog does take it personally, but
Yeah.
it's very
Well,
simple.
and this is something that's been a struggle for me in my parenting as well, because when children lie or that's kind of the big thing for me, because I'm like, well, you're lying to me, so it must be personal. And that was a big kind of issue that I had for a while with my youngest, because man, does he lie. And a lot of times he will admit things to my husband or a
Right, we talked
sibling.
about that in the last episode.
Yeah,
Yeah.
way before me. And I'm like, well, then it has to be about me. But I think maybe this is what kind of the conversation we had then, like, is it about lying to me, or is it about, for one, either maybe the way I re react to the lie, or because my brain is like, well, if you lie, you're going to get in more trouble.
Right.
And his brain is like, but if I lie, I won't get as much trouble in the moment,
Right, there
right?
you go. Different perspectives.
So it's really not even about me, it's about him. It's about what he's thinking about at the time and getting in trouble and things like that. It's really not even
But it is a
about
little
the
bit
way I
about you
react.
as well. It's about,
Yeah.
in his mind, am I better off telling my stepdad,
Yeah.
right, who is not going to react? Or am
Yeah.
I better off telling my mother and facing the consequences?
Yeah.
And now it's about you understanding the difference and saying, you know what, son, I'm going to change who I am, but you got to give me some leeway here.
Right.
Right? Because you can say, I'll try, I may fail, but I'm giving you permission to call me out on it.
Yeah.
Which is why the reason I'm bringing this up is because this is what you told him. Right? So, yeah. All right. So yeah,
So,
so that's a big one. So next one is visualize who you want to be from here on out. The process of visualizing who you want to be from here on out begins with goal setting. By setting goals, you're starting to put in action the ideas you're visualizing. Now here comes the cycle of A's. Visualizing begins by sitting down and creating a plan on how to get there. Write it down, read it every day, make a vision board, hang it somewhere prominent. Put your plan into action. Don't get discouraged if you miss a day. Here's the discouragement, is keeping the attitude.
Yeah.
Everyone has setbacks. It's only natural. Just pick up where you left off. You're on a journey. Take one step at a time. The best way to start your journey is to set yourself up for success. Understanding the best way to get where you want and achieve your goals is to map it out. Goals give you something to focus on. When they're set right in front of you, it makes your goals that much more tangible. If they're only in your head, your chances of success reduce dramatically.
Yeah. It's a lot easier especially if you have ADHD, to see this thing in front of you instead of just kind of like try to, I like to take notes, and I still take like handwritten notes because for me, it's part of like the writing it. I think about it more and I'm like, I can remember it better, right? And if we're just having a conversation sometimes, and then 30 minutes later, I forget half the conversation.
And you know, even for me, even the act of just writing it down, even if I never look at it again, the act of writing it down, it becomes concrete in my head.
I have a ton of notes from college, and I've retained so much information in college, and I think part of it was I was very intentional. I really wanted to learn about this so that it could help me in different parts of my life. And I took notes. Like, I really wanted to retain this information. So I have actually one is right here, this giant thing filled with notes from one of my classes. When I say I was a very avid note taker, I was a very avid note taker. But I intentionally wanted to retain the information, and that's for me writing it down, the act of writing it, and then being able to go back and read it visually was super helpful.
Absolutely. Fantastic. I love it. But yeah, so each one's different. Each one, it's about how, and look, we all process information differently. We all do things in a different way. But the idea of goal setting is the more concrete it is, and the more you're able to look at it and visualize it, go on Canva, make a vision board. Canva's free.
I love
Canva's
Canva.
free. Go on Canva, make a vision board, change it as it's going along. One of the things I do with my clients is, when they're 75% on hitting their goals, we change the goals. Right? Because if you're almost there, what are you going to do when you hit the goal? Okay, that's it. Life's over. No. Unless it's a weight goal, because you don't want to go down to zero, but then it's going into maintaining, which I got
Which,
to do now myself. I'm being
but
honest.
that's a goal too. Maintaining is a goal as well, which we actually talked about in the last episode of maintaining goals, by
Exactly.
the way.
All right, cool. Next one.
So the next one is embrace. Embrace the new life you're creating and enjoy your endless potential. Be engaged. A huge part of embrace a huge part of embracing the new life you've created. Be engaged. A huge part of embracing the new life you're creating is being engaged. Being engaged starts by recognizing that how you show up determines what happens. Being engaged means doing things like being mindful and present with everyone and everything you're doing at the moment. The more care, oh my gosh. The more clarity you have with mindfulness and being present, the more focused you will be with whatever it is you're engaged with. Forgiveness. When you practice forgiveness, it is so much more for you than the person you're forgiving. It gives you the ability to release frustration. What is happening? It gives you the ability to release frustration and resentment. Practice gratitude. Write down three things you're grateful for in the morning after you awake, and in the evening before you sleep. That was difficult for me to get through. I don't know what was happening there.
It's okay, but there's a lot going on this card. There's a lot to process. So you're probably like, okay, let me get, So it's all good. It's all good.
Oh
But there's
gosh.
three separate things. Being engaged is one. That's one thing. Forgiveness is another. And then practice gratitude. And I find it that if practicing gratitude has a greater effect if you've gone through the forgiveness stage. Not that you can't practice gratitude without forgiveness, but it just takes it to a whole nother level. And it's not about calling up somebody and saying, I forgive you. Because nine times out of ten, they go, for what? It's about you accepting that somebody did something to you, whether they did it intentionally or unintentionally, and it's holding you back because you're resenting it and you're waiting for them to apologize for an apology you're never going to get.
Or in one case, or the person is maybe no longer with you.
Yeah. You're never getting an apology from that person.
Can't. Yeah.
I know that you probably feel some of that with your dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where it's coming from.
Right. Know? Right. Yeah. And in that case, it's about working on ourselves. What can I do? Because this person isn't here anymore. So there's nothing they can do.
Right, right, right.
You know, that's not an option. So how am I going to navigate how I handle what I think about the situation, what I feel about it, navigating it after processing it and taking a different approach to move forward?
Yep. 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 Absolutely. And first part, just to go back over it, the engaged part is show up open, willing, mm-hmm. happy.
Yep.
And you don't, it's unbelievable how much you'll get back.
Yeah.
Right. You can change the vibration in a room mm-hmm. by how you show up.
Yeah. Both
good and bad. So why not change it for the better?
Yeah.
And that's where the woo-woo comes in again. It's the energy you bring into the room. If you bringing an energy of the world is crap and I'm going to put it on everybody around me, then that's what everybody's going to feel about you. They're right. Like, why would I want to be around this guy?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's true. I've noticed it even with my own family. You know, the moment sometimes my mood changes, like the whole room changes. Everybody yeah. gets quiet. It's not fun anymore. People may start dispersing to different rooms, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come and engage. So, yeah. So that's what the whole embrace is. Taking the first five letters we did, uncover before the E, UNCOV. And now you're coming up to embracing it. Take those first five and embrace them.
Yeah.
That this is what's going on. And by embracing them, you're engaging, you're happy, you're trying to put on what you feel in a good way. You want your, that doesn't mean fake it till you make it. Okay. Right. Because there's a whole thing out there about, I don't know, God, the word just escaped me. A toxic positivity.
Mm.
Right. Which could be fake it till you make it. And the other part of it is, the other side is gaslighting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's a whole conversation in itself. But it's about be authentic. If your feelings are not there, say it. Say, look, I'm just not feeling this today. Yeah. I'm just putting it out there. I might need some space.
Yeah. Communication. Communicate your needs. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Because your needs
are the last one.
Your needs are important too.
Of course.
These situations, you know, we talk about a lot about our reactions and kind of modifying ourselves to embrace and control situations with other people. But your emotions and thoughts and things are important too. It's not, you know, I just want to make sure I put that out there. That
100%. No, you're important. Your feelings are tantamount of importance. Yeah.
And it's also for you that you're doing this, because whether it's to navigate relationships in more of a healthy way, it really is. It's also and largely for yourself, so that you benefit from your relationships with other people. You benefit from how you respond over instantly reacting and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said.
Then you want to take this one, or you want me to?
You go. Go, go. Okay.
All right. And lastly, we're going to reclaim your strong, confident, and happy life to live incredibly full every day. Clarify your vision for the life you want. Create a long-term vision with a 3 to 5 year view of where I'm going and how I feel. How will I feel when I get there? There's a system used by some of the biggest companies in the world, like Alphabet, Google's parent company, and Intel, called OKRs, Objectives and Key Results. Here are the keys to using OKRs. Objectives, another word for goals. Key results, how am I going to achieve my objectives and when? And vital behaviors, what must I do right now to achieve my objectives?
Right. So this is, it's building on what we talked about a couple of cards earlier with visualize, right?
Yeah.
Visualize, we'll get into a card later that talks about it. We use something called, very often in my coaching, aim smart goals,
mm-hmm.
right? Which everybody knows. I didn't make it up. But what this does, it takes AIM Smart goals to the next level. Okay. By setting up the OKRs, the objectives, the key results, and the key results with vital behaviors, right? For example, I want to lose 50 pounds. Okay. That's my objective. What are my key results along the way that are going to get me to the objective? And then what are the vital behaviors I have to do to lose the 50 pounds? Right. So, and this can change. You could do this for a three. I like to say that this is now that you've done all this work. Okay. Yeah. You want to plan long term. You want to say, okay, now that I get the short term goals of AIM Smart and all that, and I've done all these other work of the uncover and all that, where do I see myself in 3 to 5 years based on the new me by reclaiming my strong, confident me and all the things now that I used to say I can't do, now that I can do them, or I can, how can I do them?
Yeah.
So that's really what this card is saying is take everything we've done and now start planning long-term.
Yeah. Start planning to work toward the last little portion of, and the AIM Smart goal setting, there is a card in here for that as well. I don't know if you can. Yeah.
Let's leave it for another day.
Okay.
I don't want him coming back for more.
We'll get there. We'll get there. I just wanted them to know that in the deck, there is that resource. Yeah. Resource to kind of explain a little bit more of what that is in particular.
Exactly. Exactly. But the idea here is when you're setting long-term goals, don't say, oh, I have to lose 50 pounds.
Right.
Because you put it on there, but you go, how am I going to get there? And what are they going to be the key results along the way and the vital behaviors I have to do to get there? And that means go back to the beginning, admission, cleansing, celebration. I got to celebrate as I'm going, admitting that I need to lose the weight. Cleansing is what are the goals I'm setting up for myself? What are the actions I'm doing? The key behaviors, you know, key objectives. And then I'm saying the words wrong. I know the key results. Okay. And then, you know, how am I going to celebrate along the way?
Yeah.
Because if you don't celebrate along the way and you say, oh, I didn't lose. I'm not at 50 pounds. Well, no, but you're at 5. Okay.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or for some people, because I really love going to the gym, but I've noticed there was one point where I was really serious about like achieving a certain weight. Now, mind you, I'm 6 foot tall. Right. So my,
I didn't know. Hello.
So for me, so I have this TikTok that I made where I'm like going around touching certain things to show like I can stop a fan, I can touch like a door frame, blah blah blah. It's funny, but anyway. So if you want to know how tall I really am,
I'm definitely gonna go.
But so you know, like my goal achievement is not going to be the same number as somebody who's 5'3". You know, body mass index and things like measuring my thighs or, you know, my waist or my arms to see the difference. Because especially if you are working on gaining muscle, you're not going to have a number drop like you are if you're just trying to lose the fat.
Exactly. You know? Exactly right.
So making sure that your goals are actually obtainable to yourself. Because like I said, me saying, oh, I want to be a certain weight. I want to be, this is what my 5'3" friend is. That's absolutely unobtainable. I'm not 5'3". So, you know, make sure
you can compel yourself to your 5'3" friend because it's just not possible.
Right.
Right. Right. I don't mean this in a negative way or anything, but a 5'3" woman that's at 120 pounds and a 6'10" woman, but that's not 120 pounds, they're totally different looking.
Right. That 6 foot woman may be sick and need help.
Right, exactly. She can't be 120 pounds. And this 5'3" woman, that could be her right weight if there's enough muscle in there and all that. But a six foot woman, you gotta be somewhere around 135, 140 to be at your optimal.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's really, that's even low for if I want to build muscle. Which is,
see, I don't even know. I'm only 5'8", 5'9". I used to be 5'9". I think I'm 5'8" now.
Yeah. When I
So
was
don't
at,
go by me when it comes to this part of the discussion.
when I was at like peak fitness, I was about 196. That was like super fit
Wow.
and, you know,
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
So, you know, but yeah, like it's, you know, make your goals attainable to yourself.
And don't
You know.
compare yourself to anybody else because
Right.
they're not
Right.
you and you're not them.
Yes.
Just make, am I better today than I was yesterday? That should be a
Yeah.
compromise. That should be what you're comparing. I'm comparing to who I want to, who I was and who I want to be.
Yeah.
Right. And the beauty about this is it's a journey. There's never going to be an end. You're never hitting the
Yeah.
finish line. The finish line is the day when everybody's standing over the coffin and saying, we loved you. Have a wonderful, you had a wonderful life.
Yeah.
That's the finish line. Hopefully it's many, many years from now. Until then, you're on a continual journey.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All righty. Well, that's 14 through 22. There's a lot of cards there today.
I know. And I'm thinking the next set is kind of long too.
Well, it depends on how we want to do them.
Yeah. Do you want to kind of break it up?
Well,
Maybe break it into two?
yeah, I think so. Because in the beginning of the card deck, there's a section that talks about foundations are the first cards, gold and blue cards, which are
Yeah.
you see the gold and the blue around the borders,
Yeah.
right? Then the process cards, which are all the blue cards. And then the last one is the process support cards, which is the cards we'd get into next, which are the gold cards. So these are support cards for everything else that you're doing, right? So we don't have to do them all at one shot.
Okay.
It can be broken up into sections.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
And if you haven't gotten the book, you should, because so I actually read the book first and then I started with the cards. And if you have gotten the book but you haven't gotten the cards, you also should.
Just go to connectwithmartin.com. They're both there.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's great because you reading the book first and then having the cards for the people out there that are listening real quick,
Yeah.
it reinforces what you read in the book.
Yes. Yeah. Because there's certain things I'm like, oh, this is what you were talking about.
Right,
Or, oh,
right.
I remember, you know, you covering this in the book. Or it just kind of gives it more of a lifelike presence.
Right,
You
right.
know,
But that
I can
doesn't say you
relate
have
to
to
this.
read the book to use the
Yeah.
cards.
Yeah.
You can
Yeah.
use the cards and say, you know what? I'm hearing what he's saying, but I want to go deeper. Okay, great.
Yeah.
There's the book.
Or vice versa. You
Yeah,
know.
exactly.
And of course, if you do have the cards, you have the book, and you're like, I really like what this man has to say. He also provides coaching services.
I
So,
do. I do.
if you
And
know want the trifecta, so to say.
what can I say? It's all
All
part of
right.
my whole program. Yep. All right. Well, this
All
has
right.
been fun.
Well,
I'm
of
looking forward to
course,
the next
always.
one.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Okay.
All right, bye. Check us out on YouTube at Rhea Hakes, REAHHAGUES. You can also keep up with us on Instagram at Just the Who Podcast and Facebook at Philology.